Jesus good? All the time. You know, we don't worship God because times are good or things are good. We worship Him because He is good, no matter what the season. And I think that's what we need to remind ourselves and keep that the focus. God is good. You know, I've been talking about what it is to obey God radically. And usually, I mean, I don't do like series and stuff, but the more I study and the deeper God takes me into things, and I keep going. So again, today I want to talk about the benefit of obeying God. You know, when I was growing up in Sunday school, they taught us this little song. But now, when I was a kid, growing up, I realized they missed something in that song. It used to go like this. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Anybody remember this song in Sunday school? Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. You will grow, something like that, right? You know, in Creole they say, Lis la Bible, priez chaque jour, et on va grandir. But what I realize, they miss something. Because you could read your Bible religiously, like you have to, just like some people think, they have to serve God. I don't have to serve God. I want to serve God. For what the Lord has done for me? I don't have to play music. I could be in the world playing music, singing. But I choose. Because He opened up my eyes and realized, man, how His love, how much He's done for me. God loves us so much He gave all, right? His Son, okay? So I choose. So this is what they missed in that song. It should have been like this. Read your Bible, pray and obey. Pray and obey. Because you could be reading your Bible religiously, but if you're not obeying, applying, and I believe that's the problem in our churches. Or I'd say in Christians' life. This used to be my problem in my spiritual walk with the Lord, but I spent 40 years in the desert. You know, sometimes you spent more time in a season. For example, in the season of forgiving others, God wants to bless us. He wants us to experience the fullness of His forgiveness. But sometimes I don't want to obey the word that says I must forgive so I can enjoy His forgiveness and peace that comes in forgiving others. So really, if our teachers would revive that song and teach that song to our kids here, I would ask them to add, read your Bible, pray and obey, pray and obey, pray and obey. Read your Bible, pray and the emphasis is really on obey. You know, so Go to Revelation, not Revelation, Genesis chapter 22. Anybody like good story? But this is not just stories. We know every word in the Bible is inspired by God. So the Holy Spirit wants us to learn something. So let's read it, see what happened. I'm going to read actually from the New King James. Is that what you have? You probably have the NLT, but Abraham's faith is confirmed. Verse 1, it says, Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. On the third day. Now remember, Abraham left 3 days later. So he's on a journey. 3 days later, God showed him the place. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go yonder and worship. Two words in your Bible. You should underline that. Yonder. We go on a journey, but then we're going to worship. And we will come back to you. I want you to circle this word, we. And once again, I go back to Sunday school. Father Abraham has many sons. Father Abraham. This Abraham here we're talking about is the only guy in the Bible the Holy Spirit revealed to us that he was called friend of God. God said about David, I found in David a man according to my heart. But it goes deeper with Abraham. It says Abraham was the friend of God. All right, so let's keep going. Abraham says, we will return. We'll come back. Verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, Father, here, Abraham says, what's up, my son? Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And I want you to see right there in this verse, just the faith. Which area in your life you need to radically obey God in faith? Which area in your life it is just so hard for you to obey, to trust? And I tell you, especially nowadays with the fact that people in the church, people in our families, our best friends, people you counted on, you know, you thought they would never fail you. But then you find out they did. And for some of us, it's very hard to trust people. Even the whole idea, God is our Father. Some people can't put God in the same category of Father. He's not. God is not like our earthly Father. All right, so let's go back. There's so much here, I tell you. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, a place, and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son. And I want you to picture Abraham, because, you know, we can picture. That's one thing I like about reading. You know, when you read books, you can travel the world in books. You know, your imagination. That's why I encourage you, read books. Good books, you know, but I want you to just picture Abraham right now. I mean, we don't know what he looks like, but just picture Abraham just tying up his son. He's going to tie his legs. But just imagine Isaac's reaction. We don't know. Maybe Isaac's like, Father, what are you doing? And Abraham might even say, you know, God's got it. And I pray, I tell you, go read this the rest of the week. The Holy Spirit will show you a lot more than we have time to talk about here. Verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand after he placed Isaac on the altar. Then he stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that, underline this, understand see that the word didn't say, I know now you love me. Because the love for us, God's love, us loving God is not enough to keep us from evil. It's his fear. Certain areas in our lives, we can't obey. Man, I remember there are times I did struggle with pornography. Confess to my wife, struggle. But I still love God. I'm like, man, how come I love God? And I'm still struggling with this. The fear of the Lord, that's what will keep you from evil. The fear of the Lord, that's what will cause you to obey. And you see people in the church struggling, doing the yo-yo Christian life. Why? I'll tell you why. It's not because they're not loving God. They love God. Oh, they love Jesus. As a matter of fact, they go to the altar, they cry, Jesus, man, why, Lord? Why am I still struggling with this? Jesus, please help me. You remember those days? Oh, I remember those days in my own life. Man, I go, man, I'm like, Lord, Jesus, take that away. Bang! God increased the fear of God in my life. And all of a sudden, I hate those things. I remember struggling forgiving my father for abusing us. I pray, Lord, please help me to forgive. Bam! A day, I got a revelation. If my dad would die, one of my spiritual father actually told me this. He says, Ricardo, I know you're struggling with your father, but ask yourself this. Let's say for some reason the Lord would decide this is our life. This is the end of your dad's day. And then you get the news. Ricardo, your father passed. He said, would you have any regrets? The Holy Spirit opened up my eyes. I'm like, oh yeah, I would have a regret. I would have a regret that I hold him in the cell, in the jail cell of my heart. That liberated me to forgive the man. He still has a change. He's still stubborn and a narcissist like ever. But I am free. That's a good lesson for us here, because God is like, Abraham, please stop. Now I see you fear me. Not you love me, because God already knows. There's no, I have no doubt all of us, a lot of Christians that go to church, they love God. But the problem is, do we fear God? Do we have a reverent fear that God is holy and therefore I must holy? And I said that earlier, I serve God not because I have to. I want to, because he showed me mercy. And then the rest of the verse says, now I know that you fear God, since you have not, underlined this verse again in your Bible, withheld. And later tonight, the rest of the week, I want you to open the dictionary, if you're able to find the Greek, and find withheld. You know, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, maybe we'll get there someday, they give partial. They sold the land, and they thought, you know what? God is not worth it. He's not worthy of it all. So we're going to withheld. The same word. And Peter says, wasn't the property yours? Why did you hold back some of the value? My prayer for you this morning and for me, start first, is that we would not hold back. Because God is calling his church, his people, his saints to radical obedience. Which area in your life you must obey God? Why would God call Abraham his son? I mean, his friend. You know, we read in, don't have to go there, Isaiah 41 verse 8, God speak to the people of Israel. He said, you guys are descendants of Abraham. If you follow him in obeying my word, you also can be my friend. Isaiah 41 can be translated as, Abraham, who feared God. Anybody wants to be like Abraham? I do. So I pray this, Father, that you would increase the fear of the Lord in our hearts. That we would not be operating the fear of men. God, I pray that you would take away in our lives the fear of men. The whole desire to please, you know, people pleasing. Some of us, we are people pleasers. We care more about what others think than what you think. Father, do this to us this morning. Give us an increase in the fear of you. An increase, take away the fear of men in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, something else I want you to look here. God called Abraham and said, and he said to Abraham, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Just imagine if Abraham would be like, hey, Sarah, man, I just had this awesome encounter with the Lord. Man, guess what he says? Oh, yeah. You know, Sarah, excited to hear what God told Abraham. And all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, God says for me to offer Isaac a sacrifice. You fill out the blank. What would she say? There are certain things God is asking you to do. Obey right away. Don't even tell your best friends because they will discourage you. There are some radical decisions God is asking you to do. This is a revelation for my own life. There are certain things God's telling me, man. I ain't telling anybody. I'm acting. And then, of course, let's say if Abraham would just start telling somebody, or Sarah, just imagine what would happen. God told Abraham to go do. What did Abraham do? Early in the morning. What did he do? He went off. And look at these words here in the word. It says, take now your son, your only son, and God knows he's the only son. God say, take now your son. Not only that, he add on, he says, whom you love, which area in your heart? Which area in your heart, in your life, what is it in your life that you hold so dear? And God's asking it. It could be your life. It could be your pride. It could be your dreams. It could be your children. It could be your husband. It could be your wife. What's preventing you from obeying God? What is it? And I pray today, as you hear my voice, that the Lord would be able to shine his light on that area to be like, you know what, Ricardo, this is it, man. You got to give it in. You got to give it up. I'm asking you that. As a matter of fact, if God is asking, would ask your personal life, would you give it to the Lord? You know, some people, it's hard for them to even give their life up. It's too much. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter, in Mark, actually, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desire to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. My goodness, what a contrast compared to what the world is saying. It's all about you. No, it's not all about you. When you give your life to the Lord, you become slave of righteousness. If anyone desire, wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Pick up your cross. We will never fully encounter the fullness of Christ until we do these things. radically obeying. We read last week from Mark the story of the rich man, right? You guys remember? The rich man? What must I do, Master, to inherit eternal life? Jesus is like, come on, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not fornicate. Do not lie. Do not, you know, use the name of the Lord in vain. Honor your mother and your father. You know, do not cheat people. And the guy's like, Lord, man, I've been doing this since I was a little boy. Jesus felt genuine love for him. He's like, you lack one more thing. Go. Give me your precious. My precious. My precious. You know, that movie is very, there's a lot of spiritual principle in that movie. Give me that precious. What is so precious to you? God is saying, give it to me. Would you? Is it your heart? Is it your pain? You know, that's another place. Sometimes people don't want to take God there. Because you know what? I don't want you to go in my pain. I'm hurting so much. I don't want you there. But he wants to get there. What is it? Is it your deceptions? Your disappointments? But if you want to save your life, you will lose it. This is the word of our King, of our Master. But whoever loses his life for my sake, meaning whoever take up their cross, renounce to themselves. It says, for what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Those are great questions. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward everyone according to their works. That's why I'm giving you a word of wisdom now. Do not judge people. Don't cast out judgment. Now, I'm talking about outside the church. The word of God told us to judge each other. But the judgment the word talks about is not condemnation. It's more like calling up. So if you're telling me you are a true follower of Jesus and you're beating your husband, you're beating your wife, you're abusing your children, you're cheating people, you're living in sin, and you're saying you are a follower of Jesus, your walk is denying that talk. Now the word of the Lord says for me or for you to call me out, to be like, Pastor Ricardo, what are you doing, man? Why are you so mean? How come you are so mean, and then you say yourself a Christian, you're calling yourself a follower of Jesus? That doesn't go. Now somebody in the world, if they're mean, you know, that's, hey, God will judge them. But in the church, we ought to judge each other. We ought to keep each other accountable. And that's what a lot of people don't want. I love the fact that we're not big church. We're small church, because what I'm finding out since I'm here, there are some people, when you start keeping them accountable, you know what they do? They remove themselves. Because they don't want accountability. I want to live by myself. Leave me alone. They do church online. Church online? Is there such a thing? We put our stuff online for evangelistic purposes. But we're not an online church. You can't do church online. You know where you do church? In homes. Home groups. Doing life with each other. Rubbing shoulder with each other. Go out to eat with each other. Go visit each other. That's what the church is about. The church is not just you living by yourself and once in a while you showed up. Really? Get plugged in. Get to know people. Get them to know you. So they know your mess. So you know their mess. That's what the church is. We challenge each other to obey. You know, back to Genesis, Abraham's immediate response. I really like this. The test was difficult in yet another aspect, because it seems to contradict God's nature. Would God ask Abraham for the promised child? I mean, yes, he did. But at the same time, God was not like the pagans' God, because at that time, human sacrifice was something the other gods, the Canaanite gods, would ask people to do, offer their child. God is not like that. God was trying to see how far would Abraham obey. Would God bet on you? Could he? Guys, I pray, I said, Lord, do this work within me. That I'd be a radical when it comes to obeying you. I would not reason. If you say sell, I will sell. But the other thing I want you to see here in this chapter, Genesis 22, God said, Abraham. Well, right away Abraham knew. He says, yeah, master. So therefore, God wants you to know his voice. The closer you walk with God in read your Bible, pray and obey, the more you will know his voice. Let me repeat this. The closer you walk with God, and I was talking to a brother, he kind of brings something to my attention. He said, you know what? Think about it when you read the gospel. The closer Jesus was to the cross, the less people he had near him. That actually, sometimes like, yeah, I know this, but I'm like, oh, that's right. Because for one time, Jesus had hundreds of people following him. Then he started talking, you must eat my blood. I mean, drink my blood, eat my flesh. And then some people were like, man, this guy is weird. But go away from him. And then he had, 12 left? And then 11 left? Then towards the cross in the garden, 3 left. The closer you walk towards the cross, the more you might find yourself in that road. But will you be alone?
Never.
Was he alone?
Never.
Man, I want to stay so close to the cross. Because narrow is that road. But wide is the road where that's leading us to destruction. The road that's leading us to hell. Wide is that road. See, Abraham, he trusts the promise giver than the promise. Isaac was the promise, right? But who gave the promise? God. Abraham wasn't holding so tight to the promise. Man, this is my son, Lord. What are you talking about? Giving him as a sacrifice. You know how many years I've waited for this? Abraham with God having this talk, right? God, do you really know how long I've suffered for this job? To give it up? What if he's asking for you to give it up? What if God is telling you your job has become your God? What if God is telling you your beauty has become your God? And that's why the Bible says, for men and women, do not adore yourself. Do not, yeah, you make yourself pretty, but your true value does not come from long hair, pretty faces. But you praise a woman or a man with character. That's why it is, my brothers and sisters. Abraham, there's a lot we can learn from him. In radical obedience. This morning, I want to give you a chance to obey. I want to give you a chance again. Which area in your life you need to obey the Lord? In the coming weeks, we're going to talk about the benefit. When you obey, you grow. If you don't obey, you won't grow spiritually. And anything that's born that doesn't grow dies. If you plant a tree, the tree's not growing, what's going to happen? It will die. If a baby is born, the baby is not growing, what's going to happen? It will die. Spiritually, if you are born again and you're not growing spiritually, guess what's happening in your life? You're dying. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. We must experience the glory of God on a yearly basis. And every year, every month with Jesus must be getting better. Because it's not religion. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. If you guys need prayer, if you guys need to repent, make things right with the Lord. If there is an area in your life, the Lord is saying, you know what? This area, you need to obey me. Would you come to the altar? We might pray for you, but would you just come to Jesus saying, you know what, Lord, this is it. Remember, I can't do anything for you. The altar is not a place of shame. When we say the altar, you might not want to come forward, but get on your knees where you're at. Let's give a response to the word of the Lord this morning, would you? Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, Jesus, thank you, Father. Give us a heart to trust you.